Canto 13. Nessus was not yet back to the far bank when we set out into a forest void of any pathway. No green leaves, but dank, discolored. No smooth boughs, but cloyed with knots, warped. No sweet fruits, but just the blank stems and envenomed thorns. Beasts who despise the cultivated land that lies between Cecina and Corneto would not prize a home this thick and harsh. Here can be seen the nests of loathsome harpies that once chased the Trojans from the Strophades with dire warnings of woe. Wide-winged and human-faced, clawed feet, big feathered bellies, a strange choir sobbing from stranger trees their sad ill will. And my good master, you should understand, before you go on, that from here until you reach the third zone's horrifying sand, you travel in the second zone. So fill your eyes with things of which I could not speak and be believed. I heard from every side crying, but saw none cry. My spirit's weak, I stopped. I think he thought, I thought, my guide, that all these voices from the trees belonged to people hiding from us. He to me, to prove that in your thoughts the truth is wronged, break off a little branch from any tree. I reached to pluck a twig from a great thorn, whose trunk cried, "Who are you to tear me so?" The trunk turned dark with blood, as if more torn than barely touched, and went on, "May I know why you assault me? Pity can't mean much to one like you. We who were men are now dead wood. You might have shown a gentler touch had we been serpent souls." And then somehow the twig, too, cried. Just as a green brand weeps both sound and sap when it burns from one end, and from the other hissing liquid seeps, so my torn trophy bubbled forth a blend of blood and words, at which I let it fall and stood afraid. My sage said, "Wounded soul, had he believed what he before in all his life saw only in my lines, then whole you would have stayed. Thought would have stayed his hand. But such things were so far beyond belief, even to me, I failed to understand the consequences you would pay in grief were I to urge him on, and I grieve too. But tell him who you were, so he can make some restitution by restoring you to worldly fame, for he has leave to take the road home by a heavenly remit." The trunk said, "You so charm me with your speech, I too must speak, so please put up with it, if I should prattle trying not to preach. Know me for Piero della Vigne, who kept both the keys to Emperor Frederick's heart. So smoothly did I lock and unlock, few men saw into his secrets. To the part so glorious of Chancellor I brought such faithfulness, I lost both strength and sleep. Envy, that common bane of any court, the harlot who haunts Caesar's house to keep her shameless eyes on all that happens, set men's minds against me. My Augustus, fired by rumor's flames, was driven to forget all honors due to me. Soon I was mired in misery, accused of treason, lost my eyes. Then in my cell my scornful mind, despising scorn from others, paid the cost by making me the just man yet more blind, even to justice, when myself I slew. But by the new roots of this tree I swear that to my dear lord I was always true, true to his well-earned honor. When you're there, should either of you get back, please rebuild my memory, that still from envy's blow lies wrecked a worse death than the one I willed." My poet waited, then addressed me so. "Now that he's silent, seize your chance to ask what further questions you might have." Then I gave answer. "Once more I give you the task of seeking what you think might satisfy my doubts. I can't, so much pity does fill my heart." And so my guide began again. "That this man freely answer to your will, imprisoned shade, say more of how and when a soul is tied in knots, and if you can, tell us if ever any is set free." The trunk blew hard, and quickly what began as wind became a voice. These points can be quite briefly answered. When the violent soul uproots itself and leaves a corpse, Minos sends it to level 7. Protocol decrees that it not mitigate its loss by choosing where it falls into the wood. It falls where thrown by chance, and then a grain of grief it sprouts. Then where a sapling stood, there's suddenly a savage tree whose pain, when harpies come to eat its leaves, must find a vocal outlet. Like the rest, one day we'll go to fetch the flesh we left behind, but it will never clothe us in the way it did, for justice would be undermined. If one who robs himself should own once more the thing he stole, so we will drag them here, those bodies, and the thing he was before, on each tree in this wood will hang so near, yet so far from its murderous soul. We were still listening, in case the trunk was not through talking, when we heard a sudden stir. As one who, waiting in his chosen spot, is still surprised to hear the boar hunt charge towards his post, the beasts, the crashing through of branches, we were stunned to see it large. There, on our left, two naked runners. Two scarred runners, and they fled so fast they snapped the tangled wood. "Come now," the first one cried. "Come quickly, death!" The other, looking sapped of winning speed, yelled, "Lano, why the pride? You ran it topo, but you still got killed." He crouched, perhaps because his breath was short, close to a bush. The woods behind them filled with black bitches, ravenous for the sport, and swift as unleashed hounds. They chose the one who squatted there to get their teeth into, and bit by bit tore him apart. That done, they took the suffering pieces beyond view. My escort took me by the hand and led me to the bush, which sobbed, "O Jacopo da Sant'Andrea!" Anywhere it bled from wounds, they vainly whined, "Why stoop so low? How did it profit you to make a screen of me? Your guilty life was not my blame." My master stooped above it. "You that keen both blood and bitter tears, what was your name?" It said to us, "O souls who come to see the shameful damage that has stripped my leaves, gather them up and bring them back to me, heaped at these roots to comfort one who grieves. My city once chose to set Mars aside for John the Baptist as its patron. Thus the scorned, discarded one will always guide its path to civil war, us against us. And were it not that near our bridge still stands a shard of his old statue, those who raised the city once again from the black brands and ash left when Attila's wrath once blazed would have worked uselessly. I know. I made my house, my gibbet. Here I am repaid."